This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth with Christopher John O'Shea tonight. No Tommaso.
No, it isn't. And so I was glad to be back. I was almost back 6 weeks ago, reminding me that on my way here, there was a family emergency, and so I didn't get here. I mean, I got
That's right.
But then I left.
I remember that. She's better now.
She comes home tomorrow. Actually,
it really has it been that long?
She hasn't been. So my mother-in-law fell, broke her leg, and so she's been in rehab since then. So she comes home tomorrow.
Well, welcome home.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. So anyway, it's a great show on the boards tonight.
Yes, we have Candace Scherr with us tonight. And Candace is a member of the law firm Frank and Scherr.
Right.
And Candace's specialty is elder care planning. And that is where she's helping people get qualified for Medicaid when you have long-term care bills coming up. Either you're a married couple and one of the spouses is headed into a long-term care facility and you're wondering how the heck are we going to pay these bills and then continue to make the expenses of the family as a whole, the person that's living outside of the long-term care.
Sure.
And I mean, we're talking $100,000, $120,000 a year. This can really devastate a family. And we're also going to be talking, you know, maybe you just have a single parent. And in that situation, they actually have to totally impoverish themselves to get to this kind of aid. And this is where a lawyer like Candace can come in and help. And so we want to welcome Candace tonight. Candace, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here tonight because this is a very important topic. I mean, you know, if you don't understand these laws, you can truly bankrupt your family and you could have a healthy spouse living for many years after someone's passed away that went into a nursing home and leave a devastating effect on that surviving spouse.
That's true. Even the best in retirement planning can go really quickly when you're facing a $10,000 a month nursing home bill, and that's kind of it.
And it's even worse
than
that, Candace, because normally they're paying with that with before-tax money.
That's
and
right.
Even though you might have some tax deductions, it still doesn't make it that easy.
That's right.
And so it can be really devastating. And you got to make a lot of choices. You've got to make a decision, you know, when somebody's headed into a long-term care facility, and you know it's going to, but you don't know how long they're going to live. And so that makes it difficult, too. Do I start to make all these moves and be prepared?
It's always wise to see an attorney in that situation.
I agree wholeheartedly, and I tell people that all the time.
Yeah, the program that you want to look at and that you need to qualify for is Medicaid, and the rules are extremely complex. You've got to have an attorney. They don't make them so that you can go out and apply for these benefits and get them on your own.
No,
it's
absolutely.
It's very, very complicated.
It's not, you know, like, I'll give you an example. Social Security, you could go to a Social Security office and the person will sit down with you and look at all your different options and try to help you make a decision what's best. They don't do that in any way, shape, or form on this Medicaid planning, do they?
No, most of the nursing homes will come to the family after the Medicare days have expired and say, you've either got to start paying the bill or you've got to qualify for Medicaid. And that family member is like, well, how do I qualify for Medicaid? And the nursing homes really don't know the rules. They don't know
how to
tell
you. Well, not to mention they have a vested interest in not telling you how to qualify for Medicaid if you have money,
true.
Right?
Well, in defense of some of the nursing homes who are very kind, they will say to the family, here's some names of elder law attorneys that you really should talk to because they can help you protect your assets.
Well, hats off to those kind of long-term care facilities that would do that because there is an economic bias on long-term care facilities to not allow you to get qualified for Medicaid right away. Is there not?
Well, I don't want to say that that's definitely their reason. I
I look at things as a skeptic, you know?
Yeah.
That's my job. But, so let's tell
everyone.
He's only
slightly opinionated.
Only slightly, Chris.
Well, I'm
glad you say that.
Yeah.
I'm understating tonight.
So, Candace, you said you would be willing to take calls from any of our listeners who have...
Oh, I absolutely would. I know it's a hot topic.
And it's an important one, and they got issues they might be dealing with. So if you have an elder care issue, if you feel that your spouse might be headed into a long-term care situation and you want help, just get some quick general insight from Candace while she's here with us. You can call in at 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. And, of course, if you're a child and you have a parent that has this issue or you're yourself and you don't have anybody and you think you're headed into this kind of situation and you're wondering, how am I ever going to pay for this? You know, now's a great time to call and ask one of the firms that I think is probably one of the foremost firms in the Baltimore, Washington area to handle this. And Candace Scherer is with us tonight. So if you want to call in and ask your question, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. So, Candace, we've already designated this is a serious risk, and a lot of people are dealing with it. Right. And even if you're worth $1 million, okay, and you've got a Social Security check coming in of, let's say, $30,000, that doesn't, you know, that can be wiped out pretty quickly, right?
Absolutely.
And so, because we're talking $100,000, $130,000, $40,000 a year to handle these types of risk.
Yeah.
So what is Medicaid going to do if you're married? How are they going to look at the situation? We've got about 45 seconds till our first traffic break. So give us a rundown. What's a married couple have to do to get Medicaid?
Medicaid is going to take a snapshot of their assets, and then they're going to determine how much that spouse at home is able to protect of those assets, and that spouse at home has to go through what we call a spend down. These are the things that spouse can do to get from what was there on the snapshot to down to the amount that they are allowed to keep. And I'd love to go through that list of what they can do and how it works.
Okay. So we can do that in a second. And, and then a single person, it's basically you have to spend it.
A single person, we always look at the ability to make gifts, to transfer money out of that applicant in the nursing home's name to the family. And we're going to talk about, when we come back, about the five-year look back and what that means, and how you can gift money to your family and still get Medicaid even during the five-year look back.
Wow. So we're going to take calls tonight. If you want to call in and ask about elder care, you have somebody going into long-term care, it's 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. Right now I got to take a traffic pause, and I'll be right back. Money Rich
again.
Personal finance has become a major area of stress due to the increasing dangers and complexities of the global economy. Personal financial management is a comprehensive approach to combating these issues, and the financial physical is the first step. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate, an independent fee-only firm. The financial physical begins with an objective analysis of your personal finances and ends with a plan to help achieve your goals. Experience the difference of the financial physical and learn how personal financial management can revolutionize your financial well-being. To learn more about the financial physical and the other services we offer, call us at 410-823-SAVE. That's 410-823-7283. Or the easy way to remember that, 410-823-SAVE. Or visit us online at drewtig.com. That's drewtig.com.
And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here with Candace Scherer with the law firm of Frank Frankenscherer, and Candace is an elder care attorney. She's talking Medicaid planning, and we are willing to take your call. So if you want to call in, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and ask an elder care question. We do have one caller on the line. Let's go to Chris real quick. Chris in Baltimore City, how can we help you?
Hi, it's Chris, and thank you for taking my call. My mother-in-law is 84. She has Alzheimer's. We currently have a live-in, but she called the police on her, said she was stealing things. So we're thinking about putting her in a nursing home, and just to get some advice from the expert there. She's got about $120,000 in net worth. She gets Social Security, and she owns a condominium worth maybe $150,000.
So, Candace?
Okay. A couple questions. She's single, like widowed, or?
Widowed. My father-in-law passed away last year.
And does she have any children who themselves are disabled, such as because they're receiving Social Security under the age 65?
No, there's four children, but they're all
okay.
They're all fine.
Does she have a power of attorney?
Yes.
All right. Are you joint? Is someone joint on her accounts?
My sister-in-law, her daughter is.
Okay. So this, generally, it sounds like you have the ability to do some gifting. And one thing you should know about the condo is that if she keeps the condo at the point where she's eligible for Medicaid, the Medicaid will put a lien on the condo. So it's advisable, I would say, to put the condo on the market.
That's where she lives.
But if she's in a nursing home, would she then not need it?
Yes.
Okay. She would not need it, right?
No.
Okay. Yes. So you would look at her money that she has in the bank, and the suggestion would be to transfer that money, leave her with under $2,500, and transfer the money out of her name. And then you actually have to submit a Medicaid application because you need to report that she has made a gift. And that will start the clock ticking on the penalty. And then the elder law attorney would do a calculation to tell you how much of that gifted money you would have to spend on her care. And with my experience, it's usually about a little under half of that money that you would be able to protect, and the other portion would be spent on paying the nursing home bill until that amount is gone.
Now, that doesn't sound like a great, great deal because he has to spend half, but it's better than 100%, right?
It's better than 100%.
Which is what they would require.
Right. The five-year look-back means that when you apply, you have to give Medicaid 5 years back from that date of all your mother-in-law's bank statements. And there's also a question on the application that asks, what has she gifted during those 5 years? Now, if she gave this money away 6 years ago, and now she's in a nursing home, you don't have to tell them about that gift because it's beyond the 5 years. But when you're gifting in this five-year period, you really can't protect it all. That's when we do this calculation and determine that it's going to be about half that you're going to have to spend on the nursing home, but maybe the other half around that amount you'll be able to keep for the family.
But, Chris, the biggest piece of advice you need is you need an elder care attorney. That's what you need, Chris. And what you're talking, you know, somewhere around $5,000 to $15,000 is what it normally costs to get approved for Medicaid with an elder care attorney. Would you say that's a fair number?
Yeah, 15's on the high side.
Well, that's I'm trying to say five to fifteen.
Yeah, it's quite a bit of work that has to be done, and we guide
you. But it's well worth it.
Yeah, we guide you step by step on how this gifting works. We do the application for you, and in your situation, we'd also want to look at, you know, the best way to protect the condo or the proceeds from the sale of the condo.
Right. Chris, was your mother-in-law, right?
Yes.
Was your father-in-law a vet?
He was.
Oh, well, that makes a difference, too,
okay.
Right, Candace?
He served there in the Korean War, so we should be able for VA disability.
VA aid in attendance.
Well, there's a program, Chris, it's called... It's called aid in attendance. Your mother-in-law has too much money now. How old is she?
84.
She has too much money now to qualify for it. But if you were saying that she was going to stay home, and you wanted to look at programs that might help pay for her home care, we would be talking a little differently, because right now the VA does not have a look back period. And if she were staying home, I might be telling you to move the money out and apply for this pension from the veterans. But it sounds like she may be needing more care than home care can provide. So a nursing home may be the best option for her with her diagnosis.
Can I ask another question?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead, real quick, Chris.
You talked about gifting. Does that, if it's given to a different person, does it have to go to the person who's has a power of attorney? And does that bring up IRS income tax issues?
Okay, good questions. The gifting, we would want to look at your mother-in-law's will, because ultimately we want to make sure that her estate wishes are followed through. So I would imagine it's likely that she has left everything in her will to the four children. Am I right
probably
on that?
Probably.
Correct. Probably. Okay. The gifting should go, however, to someone who we know is trustworthy, we know who's not going to run off with it, and we know who ultimately will split the gifted money when it's time to the four children. It doesn't have to be the power of attorney, but usually that's the person who is taking care of this planning, so we might want to put it in the power of attorney's name.
But it can be all four children if they're all four responsible.
It could be all four.
But
yes.
Then you have all kinds of issues with whoever you give it to, because bankruptcy, divorce, liability claims, that becomes an issue. So there's lots of planning here, Chris. You need an elder care attorney, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank you so much.
All right.
You're so helpful.
Take care,
you're welcome,
buddy.
Chris.
Thank you. So, Candace, how do people get in touch with Frank and Cher and Candace Cher specifically?
All right. I'm going to give you our phone number, 410-337-8900. That's 410-337-8900. You can email us and look at our website. It's frankelderlaw.com, and our email and other information about our firm is there. We have offices in Lutherville, in the Towson area. We work out of an Easton office, and we're also in Columbia. But we will travel. We will make home visits. We will meet you wherever you need us to be.
That's great. So, you asked an interesting question to Chris, and I just want to address it. You know, since we do have another caller coming in, but I do want to address it. You asked him if there were any disabled children in the family, and that's a unique issue, right?
Yeah, I always ask that question because most gifting is penalized. That means that Medicaid is going to do a calculation and determine how many months of penalty there is. The penalty being you can't get Medicaid during those penalty months. You have to pay the full bill. Certain type of gifting is not penalized. It's not subject to any penalty. And the main one is if the person in the nursing home has a child under 65 who is receiving Social Security, that child can be given all of the parent's assets one day, and the next day the parent is eligible for Medicaid without any penalty. So there's a lot of little regulations in the Medicaid rules that we ask questions about to see if they fit into that type of exception to a penalty.
Yeah, you know, so Chris calls in and he has his mother-in-law has an estate of about $220,000-$250,000, somewhere in that ballpark. And you're talking about the fact that he's going to have to use $100,000-$125,000 of it to get her qualified. But they're still protecting $125,000 because Medicaid requires you get down to under, what'd you say, $2,500?
Under $2,500 with no penalty.
You
right?
can have some things like a prepaid funeral and stuff like that, but if you actually owned a cemetery plot, that could count against you, couldn't it?
The applicant and a spouse, they can each have a cemetery plot. If there are other plots, They can be designated to immediate family members, and then they're not countable any longer.
Yeah. It's amazing what they look at. But right now, Candace, we have to take a pause with traffic, and we're going to come back and answer Sonny's question. But if you want to get in on and ask a question about elder care, about Medicaid planning, you're somebody's spouse or family member's going into an elder into a long-term care facility, and you think you might need help, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask Candace Scher, an expert in the topic, a question on this as you're going through this difficult time. But right now, I've got to take a pause with traffic. I'll be right back. Money, Rich, and Wealth.
75% of adults agree they could benefit from advice and answers to everyday financial questions from a professional. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consult. We strive to serve as a leader in educating the public on personal finance topics through our Financial Pulse and Consulate Journal. For these publications and learn about our personal financial management services, visit our website at DrewTigg.com, and follow us on Twitter at TheFinCon for educational updates.
Back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. This is Drew Tignanelli here with Christopher John O'Shea and my co-host, and Candace Scher with Frank Frankenscher. And we're talking elder care law. That's where somebody is in need of going into a nursing home and they need help. They're seeing how their assets are going to be wiped out, be it a married couple or a parent or whatever the case may be. And how do you handle it? How do you get approved for government assistance? Is it even possible? Excuse me. And there's all kinds of ways to do it, and that's what Candace is here to help us with. So, Candace, we're going to go take a couple callers right now. Sonny and Glen Burnie, are you with us?
Yes, good evening.
Yeah, what can we help you with?
I'm 77 years old. My income is about $1,575 a month.
Okay.
I'm driving a car that I owe more money on than it's worth, and I made some bad investments, and I have $40,000 worth of judgments against me. I'm sort of up a tree. I don't know which way to go. You got any advice?
Well, you know, that's not what elder care law is. So, you know, listening to what you're saying, I would have to know a little more about it, but I can't do it tonight on this show. So if you want to call me at my office, I can, you know, talk to you a little while and see if I can give you some advice.
All right, sir.
The phone number would be 410-823-7283, and just ask for Drew, Sonny, and when I get a chance, I'll get back to you if I can't take it right away, and I'll help you work that out.
Drew or Chris.
Drew or Chris, yeah. You can ask for Chris, too, Sonny. All right?
Thank you.
All right, buddy. You take care. And we're on tonight. We're talking elder care law, which is long-term care, nursing care, when you have a parent heading into or a spouse or something of that sort, and you want to ask a question. And here's a good one for us. Maggie in Towson, how can we help you?
Yes, good evening. I would like to ask Ms. Scher to give more information about the local county government offices and who do assessments for the Medicaid waiver. The name of the office is Adult Evaluation Review Services. Can you talk more about that, please? Thank you.
What in particular did you want to know about that? They come out and assess you.
She hung up.
She hung up
just to listen. Yeah.
Okay.
So go ahead.
Well, I wasn't quite sure what she wanted to know about that. They come out and assess the family member to see what kind of services they need and if they're eligible for the program.
There are two requirements for getting Medicaid assistance. One's financial and one's medical. So why don't you just talk about that medical one,
right?
Either way, whether it's Medicaid waiver or Medicaid itself.
The person has to meet a certain level of care. And the way it's determined that they're eligible medically is by having an assessment completed. It's a form, Form 3871B. It's sent into Telegen, the review board, and they come back and say whether the person does or does not meet the level. The form asks for, of course, what their diagnoses are, what medications they're taking, but it also looks at how they rate on the ability to do their activities of daily living, their ability to walk, to toilet, get
feed
out of bed, and you know they look at those and rate them. They also look at behavioral issues. Does the person wander? Can they use a telephone? Do they have, you know, some other issues, or the, you know, aggression or other types of behaviors, and this form is really how the assessment's done. If someone doesn't meet the level of care, they shouldn't be in the nursing home, and they would not qualify for, you know, the benefits through the Medicaid waiver.
Now, the people that do this assessment, do they have to be certified specialists? Do they have, or can anybody do it?
No, we often recommend a geriatric social worker who's knowledgeable about this particular form and assessment to do it. But the form is signed by a physician.
Okay. And now, you know, let me just give the phone number out, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call and ask your question on elder care planning, if you have somebody headed into a long-term care situation. So give us more. We talked earlier about the qualification. So we have this medical qualification. Now we also have a financial qualification.
Right.
We've talked a little bit about it, but then we did callers.
Yeah.
So let's go into that.
Yeah, let's go back to a married couple.
Okay.
And let's say in our scenario, the husband's in the nursing home and the wife is home. I mentioned the snapshot. The snapshot of assets is taken as of the first day of the month of the nursing home placement. Medicaid's looking at everything in the husband's name, everything in the wife's name, and anything they own together.
And even if it's a second marriage and they signed a prenuptial, they're still looking at it, correct?
Yeah, they're still looking at it. Prenuptials
That's a
often
very
don't,
important
don't
issue.
Really help in this situation.
Yep. Go ahead.
So they're
going to
take a snapshot of the assets, and they're going to allow the wife at home to keep half of those assets up to a cap of $120,900, which means that if the couple together has $100,000, they have to spend down half of it to $50,000. But if they have $300,000, they're capped at $120,900.
So they have to spend down $180,000 in that scenario.
That's right. That's
okay.
Right. And these are the ways that they can be used to spend down, besides just paying the nursing home every month. So the first thing we would look at is, do they have any debt? Do they have a mortgage?
Well, now, wait. Let's make sure that the client, that our listeners understand. The house doesn't count, though, right?
Yeah, the house is not countable. If the wife is living in the house, it's not a countable asset.
And that could be a lot of money.
Yes, it could.
Right.
Yes,
and
it could be any amount if the wife's living there.
And a car.
The cars aren't
You could have a Tesla SUV cost $108,000. It doesn't
right.
count,
nice,
does it?
Nice. Cars aren't countable.
So there are some things that you get. Not only get to keep the $120,000, there are some extra things you can keep.
Yes. You can keep a cemetery plot, like we said, for each. You can have prepaid funeral trusts for each.
How about a life insurance policy that has a bunch of cash value in it?
Cash value of life insurance is a countable asset.
Wow.
Term policies that are only payable on death, not countable.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
they're going to look at all this. They're going to add it up. They're going to divide it. And if half is more than 120, you can't keep it. So you have to go through a spend down. You can buy the funerals. The spouse, the wife can do home repair, anything related to fixing up the house or repairing it or buying new appliances.
Paying off the mortgage, as you
talked
about earlier.
Yes, as we
talked
about debt, paying off car loans, mortgages, paying your credit cards
down.
Going
to buy that SUV that we talked about.
They can buy a car. but the main tool that we use when someone is married is we have that wife at home purchase a certain type of annuity. And if the annuity meets the requirements of the Medicaid program, it's considered an acceptable spend down. The type of annuity is called a single premium immediate annuity, and it's where the wife can put one lump sum into the annuity, and the annuity company starts paying her money back by way of a fixed monthly check. And if she lives the full term of the annuity, she has gotten all of her money back, and it's all protected. So this is a great tool.
With any limit? No limit as far as how much she can put
into the annuity? Really isn't a limit, but there might be a point where there's just too much money to do Medicaid planning. But
sure. I got a caller online. Let's go take her and see what her question is, or his question. I'm sorry. Terry, this is Drew and Candace. I only have about 30 seconds to start answering the question. We might have to take a pause and come back and answer it. But let's start your question now, Terry, okay?
Okay, that's fine. First of all, thanks for the show. It's good information. And I have an aunt, and I'm taking care of her. I've been doing it for about 13 years now.
Oh.
She's 84 years old, and her health is beginning to fail. She has an IRA, and she has a mobile home and some savings in the bank, less than $5,000. Like I said about her mobility, she's not getting around as good as she used to. Her hearing and some of her mental status, her memory and stuff, it comes and goes. And I was just wondering, what can I be doing or should I be doing to assist her to where if she needs some kind of additional nursing care, what can I do for her?
So, Terry, can you hold? And then she'll come back and you'll be the first that she answers immediately, okay?
That's fine. Thank you.
All right. All right. We're going to take a pause with traffic. We're going to answer Terry's question when we come back. All right? This is Money, Rich, and Wealth. Take it away, traffic.
Yeah.
And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And we're going to go to Terry and answer his question about his elderly aunt that he's caring for. But before we do, why don't you tell everybody quickly how to get in touch with you again, Candace?
Sure, sure. Give me a call, 410-337-8900.
So it's 410-337-8900. And we're going to Terry. Terry, how can we help you? Now, well, you already told us. Now Candace is going to answer the question.
So, Terry, the first thing that you want to make sure that your aunt has in place are the proper estate planning documents. She needs to have a power of attorney where she's appointed, I imagine, you as the person to manage her finances and take care of all of her money issues.
Did she do that yet, Terry?
Yeah, we got that taken care of.
Well, you got to make sure it's a really good one, too, now.
Yeah.
So let's go on
There's
to the next part.
There's some important language that needs to be in that power of attorney, and it's the ability to make gifts.
And quantity of gifts, because a lot of lawyers limit it because they don't understand elder care law.
That's right. It should be a very general gift clause. You also want to make sure there's the ability to put money into a trust, because there's a great pooled trust out there that might be helpful to her down the road. The other thing is, do you want to consider protecting her assets by way of moving things out of her name? How much is in the IRA approximately?
Roughly about $40,000.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a mobile home, right?
Yeah, she has a mobile home. We really haven't got a price on what that would go for if we needed to sell that for her care.
Does she live there?
She does.
Mm-hmm.
What other assets does she have, Terry, other than that?
And then she has a checking account, and she has a small money market. It's less than $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that's pretty much what she has.
So, yeah, we would definitely need to make sure she can at least get qualified for Medicaid.
That would be if she needed a nursing home down the road. You might want to put her on the wait list for the Medicaid waiver program.
Was her husband a vet?
He was not.
He was not. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, one thing to always keep in mind, Terry, is that talking with an elder care attorney directly and you know, really going over everything is always a good thing to do. And what's it normally cost to meet with an elder care attorney? I typically see about $500 to do an initial.
That's about our initial rate. The first thing we would do is have a phone conversation and go over your situation in particular to make sure that we can really help you and that you're the right kind of client that we can give good advice to. And then we send a questionnaire because we'd want you to fill in a lot of information that's particular to your situation. And then we will sit down for a good 2 hours and go over planning options and answer all your questions and give advice what you should be doing now. What if your aunt ended up needing a nursing home? How do we protect assets? How does the Medicaid program work? A lot of issues. We'd review her documents to make sure they had all the language that you're going to need in them. Look at her will, make sure that's satisfactory. Medical directive, living will, all of these things are so important to have reviewed by an elder law attorney.
All right, Terry?
What? Yeah, and that's why I was calling, because I think I'm getting to the point where she can no longer really manage herself, and she probably is going to need that kind of assistance now, coming up shortly.
So is she not able to do a lot of the custodial issues herself, walking, bathing?
Well, those things she can still do, but she does get confused with phone conversations, and she does need to walk with a walker, and it's that she's by herself. I mean, I do see her, but I'm not there 24 hours a day.
She doesn't have a lot of money, Candace, so if he doesn't start operating soon, he may end up having to put the money out himself to get an elder care attorney to get her through the process. So it would probably be good for him to start the process of meeting with somebody and going through an interview. So I would strongly encourage you to get in touch with somebody like Candace to help you with this process. Okay, Terry?
Thank you very much.
All right.
Thanks, Terry.
Why don't you tell everybody again, how do they get in touch with you and your firm?
Right. So we're Frank, Frank, and Cher, and our number is 410-337-8900. You can find us on the web. We're at frankelderlaw.com. And we'll be happy to meet you throughout the state of Maryland, either at our Lutherville office in Columbia, on the Eastern Shore in Easton, or we can meet you at your home or some other place that is convenient for you.
So now you strictly work in the state of Maryland for Medicaid planning, right? Or
right.
Elder care planning.
Mm-hmm.
So here's an interesting question for you. And you're seeing this circulate around occasionally. Maryland is one of the 20 or 30 states that literally still has on the books filial support. Pennsylvania actually isn't. Some nursing homes have tried to enforce it. Filial support.
Let me back up.
Okay.
Maryland just changed
the law
about filial support.
When did they do that?
It changed in the past few months.
Really?
Yes.
So they did away with it?
Yes, they did.
And so explain to everybody what it is and why that's so fascinating.
Well, I think it's just the need for children to help support their parents.
It's kind of like the reverse. Parents have to support children.
Yeah.
If you have children, you have to take care of them. And the opposite, filial, is basically your children have to take care of elderly parents who can't take care of themselves.
It's gone in Maryland.
Now, that's good, actually, isn't it?
That's wonderful.
Did you ever have an issue with it in Maryland?
No, we haven't had an issue. But my firm, Mr. Frank, Mr. Jason Frank, and Laurie Frank were responsible for this overturn of that law.
Well, good for them. Because Pennsylvania has an issue with it, don't they?
I think they do, yes.
I mean, we've seen it.
I'm a little surprised that it got through.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised, too.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it's very important that children still understand the importance of getting their parents qualified for Medicaid, no matter how much money they might have, and the importance of that. So we don't have a lot of time, but let me ask you this interesting question. If I put you on the spot, say, you know, Drew, I'm not going to answer it.
Okay.
But, you know, there's a debate as to whether or not getting somebody qualified and protecting Medicaid assets is morally right. My own personal feeling is absolutely. It's the law. It's the law. And if the law says I can do it, I think it's absolutely logical that you would do it.
That's right.
Because they would do the opposite. If the law says they can take 100,000 of my assets, they would come in and take them. But if the law says I can protect 100,000 of my assets, why wouldn't I do it?
Right.
So I don't understand why there's a debate. So you and I are sort of in agreement on that.
Yeah, we're absolutely in agreement. And my clients, my hardworking families that come in, and I tell them how we can protect assets, and they're still very upset that that's all they're able to protect, even though we can help them. If they're married, pretty much protect all of the assets.
Now, that's an interesting point. And then we didn't really get to that because you explained it, and I knew what you were saying.
Yeah.
But you didn't get the opportunity to really explain that if you're a married couple and one's headed into a nursing home, you probably can protect all of the assets.
Pretty much of their assets. I mean, legal fees aside, in most cases, we can... And except for tax consequences, if we have to close some of the accounts that have, you know, that maybe are retirement accounts. But for the most part, the planning that we can help with can protect most of the assets.
Now, the difficulty, of course, is that if a lot of those assets are in IRAs, you're going to have to pay the income. If they're in the IRAs of the one that's going into the nursing home, you're going to
have to close them.
Close
and
those
out. You can't avoid the taxes in general, but...
Yeah.
You know, that's
so there are some income tax issues that are going to go on that you always have to deal with.
Right.
So, but that's an interesting point that you can protect a large portion of the assets when they're married. It's when they're single that you're probably only going to be able to protect about 50% if they're headed into a nursing home relatively soon.
That's general, but when we look at particular situations, we often find other ways to protect assets. And because there's a lot of regulations in Medicaid, and we're looking to see which families fall into the different parts of the regulation.
It's still well worth doing, and it's well worth hiring an elder. We're a fee-only advisory firm. We don't get anything by referring clients to people like you, but we understand the importance of having somebody like yourself fighting for our clients with Medicaid. It is critical.
Thank you.
Tell everybody how to get in touch with you one more time.
Call me, 410-337-8900. I'm Candace Scher with Frank and Scher, and we're the experts in elder law.
Absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly with that. Candace, it was great having you tonight. I really appreciate your time.
Here.
And this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.